1 Corinthians 15:58, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Now, all of these exhortations here regard things that we depend on God to do in us and for us. And this teaches us something right up front here. To be steadfast is to be blessed of the Lord. It's something that the Lord, we just saw in our study in 2 Thessalonians 1, 3, and 4, that the churches rejoiced in the steadfastness of the church at Thessalonica. He said, we rejoice in all the churches for you, for your steadfastness. But that, in that same passage, he said that they were bound. That is, we owe it to God to give thanks to Him for that. So it's a grace that's found in us, but it's a grace we owe to the Lord. How will we be unmovable? Be ye steadfast. We saw that there in 2 Thessalonians, steadfastness. Thank God for it. Bound to. We owe it to Him. Steadfastness. And then he says, be unmovable. How do we obey that exhortation? How do we obey the exhortation in Colossians 1:23? He says, if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, unmovable, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel. Don't ever find refuge anywhere else, because it's a false refuge. Don't be moved away from the simplicity that's in Christ, the all-inclusiveness of the Savior. So it says, be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you have heard and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. Grounded, settled, not moved. That's what our text is talking about. How are we going to obey that exhortation? Well, the answer is simple. David said in Psalm 62:2, He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. Because of who our Savior is, because of who it is that holds us in His hand, and we can never be plucked out. So why the exhortation? Well, that's part of how God accomplishes His will in us. He's the one doing it. He works in us. We know that. But He works in us. He exhorts us. He gives us the grace to obey the exhortation. And that's part of how He does it. He also moves heaven and earth to, if necessary, to keep us on our feet. But part of it is He's going to tell you, stay on your feet and give you the grace to obey that. Such a beautiful, beautiful Savior He is. We know that when God is pleased to, He uses means to accomplish ends such as these. What means does God use to keep us grounded, unmovable, when it comes to the gospel, His truth, and His work? Turn with me to Ephesians 4. Please. Ephesians 4:11. Be unmovable. How's that going to happen? Well, we know we're exhorted in that regard, but we know we're dependent upon the Lord for it. But so how does the Lord, what means does He use to keep us grounded, settled, unmovable in the gospel? Ephesians 4:11. He gave some apostles, He gave some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. You see that work of the ministry? That's what He's talking about in our text. As we read, as we look at the rest of that verse 58, the work of the ministry. He gave apostles, he gave those to declare his word, his gospel, for the perfecting of the saints, so that all of us, the preacher and those preached to, might be steadfast, might be kept by the power of God in that, by those means, till we all, verse 13, come in the unity of the faith. What's happening here? Somebody's preaching to you. Evangelists, prophets, teachers, pastors. Somebody's declaring the gospel. And what's the result of it? Perfecting of the saints, work of the ministry, edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, unmovable, unmovable, grounded, settled, not moved away from the gospel. How does that happen? By the gospel. So, we're not just going to muster it up within ourselves, to even as believers, to be strong and steady in the things of God. The Lord's going to work it, and this is how he's going to do it. By exhorting. That's what Paul's doing in the text. He's preaching to them, isn't he? By letter. Saying, be strong, be steadfast. We're thankful that you are, but how many times in these verses that we just read, he exhorted the churches in that regard. So, it's the gospel that God has ordained whereby to work that in us. By these exhortations, you and I need to hear from God. We need to hear from God. We always have needed that. We always will need that. What about abounding in the work of the Lord? He exhorts us, or he talks about that in our text. Be steadfast. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. He's exhorting us to that. What even is the work of the Lord? You ever think about that? What is the work of the Lord? Well, we have one commission from the Lord Jesus Christ. No, just one. Just one. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And it's important that we notice. I'm not just making fun of people when I say things like this now, but it carefully notice that in the scripture there, that he did not say go into all the world and get people saved. I'm not just making fun of people again when I say that. That's not what he sent us to do. He sent us to preach the gospel. And you remember what he said after that? Whoever believes you. Whoever believes that gospel that you preach, I'll save them. Not you. We don't even know. We don't know wheat from chaff. He taught us that, didn't he? Don't try to separate. Don't try to pull the chaff. You're pulled wheat too. You don't know the difference. We have evidences, and he did say, by their fruits you shall know them. But not, we don't have eternal authority to make a division between the two. He does. He didn't say get people saved. He conspicuously forbade them to do that. Let me read that in Mark 16:14. Afterward, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart. Before he sent them out to preach the gospel, he said, because you didn't believe them which had seen him after he was risen. A bunch of people aren't just going to make that up. You know, these were his people. These were his preachers. He didn't believe them. Well, not believing them, you say, well, are we supposed to just believe whatever I said? No, they were just saying what he said. Believe those that say what he said. Didn't he say, I'll rise again the third day? Well, that's what they were saying. He rose again. And you didn't believe them. It's interesting that he didn't say you didn't believe me, but it's clear it's the same thing. If you don't believe those that say what God said, you don't believe God. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Who would you say does the saving and the damning in that scripture? It ain't us, is it? It ain't us. Our business as God's church is to preach the gospel. And think about all that, what the scripture teaches with regard to that. Anything done, the point of this book says the reason it's written is so that people will believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the gospel. The work of God as it pertains here to the ministry, which is what he's talking about. Now, the work of God, when it comes to your relationship with God, like those that ask, what should we do that to work the work of God? You know, but he had told them that don't labor, don't work for the meat which perisheth, but work for that meat that only I can give you. And they said, well, what work are you talking about? What work? What do you mean? What work do we do? And he said, the work of God is that you believe on his son. Faith. In other words, my work is what he did. That's what faith is. It looks to the one that did please God, that did work out a perfect righteousness as man on this earth for me, as me. The one that laid down his life for my sins. Faith looks to him. My work is what he did. But this is talking about the work of the ministry now. In anything done to that end, to the end of the commission that the Lord has given us toward that purpose of preaching the gospel, is the work of God that's referred to here. The ministry, as we read there in Ephesians 4. The work of the ministry, he said. Talking about the same thing. The scriptures were written, as I said, that sinners might believe on Christ and have life through his name. That's John 20:31. We're commissioned to preach those scriptures, Christ, to sinners. God is in the business of saving his people by these means. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save. Not give you something to argue about, to save them that believe. So we are to abound, he said, abound in that work. Everything that has something to do with preaching the gospel or making sure his people hear the gospel, which means since you don't know who they are, just preach to everybody that'll listen. To abound in that work. There are a lot of workers in the preaching of the gospel, in the ministry of our Lord, and types of things to be done. Of course, the preaching and the teaching, that's the actual performance of the commission that he gave us. But consider what Paul's referring to in Philippians 4:1. Listen to this with me. Or turn there with me if you would. Philippians 4:1. Let's try to understand, if the Lord will teach us tonight, we'll understand what it is to abound in the work of the ministry. To even be involved in it is a great privilege and honor, but God give us grace to abound in it. Philippians 4:1, therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and my crown, so stand fast in the Lord, dearly beloved. There it is. Don't be moved. Be unmovable. Be steadfast, unmovable. And abound in the work of the Lord. Here's the third one. I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. You see, the women labored, helped, and labored with him Clement, these ones that are called by name, fellow laborers in the gospel. You see that? And he's talking about now, notice the word gospel there, verse 3, which labored with me in the gospel. In the gospel. Did they preach some? I don't think so. Yeah. They just did whatever needed to be done so that the gospel would go forth. And I think we should think about that more. All of us. And not only, you know, give honor where honor is due. I would give honor in how that this church has been so faithful to do what needs to be done, and to so many are truly and with their heart in on the ministry, involved in it. And from my point of view, I'm trying to think of the right word. Necessary. That's not the word I was looking for, but I think it gets the point across. True yoke fellow, fellow laborer, women which labored in the gospel. Consider what Paul referred to in 1 Corinthians 16. Turn there with me. That's right, the next chapter after our text. 1 Corinthians 16. Verse 13, 1 Corinthians 16, 13, watch ye, stand fast in the faith. See that from our text? Unmovable. Don't be moved from the gospel. Quit you like men. Be strong. Let all your things be done with love. I beseech you, brethren, you know the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. Ministry means service, a servant. And he's saying, I beseech you to be strong and submit yourselves unto such. Work with them, cooperate with them, and to everyone that helpeth with us and laboreth. What kind of stuff do you think he was talking about when he said, what kind of labor is he talking about? Well, we preach the gospel here. Not hard to imagine what he's talking about, is it? It's a lot of work that has to be done for this to happen. And a lot of different kinds of work and things that we overlook and not even think of as the work of the Lord. The work of the Lord ultimately with regard to the ministry is to preach the gospel. But how? Think of all the ways that the gospel preaching is supported and promoted. It would be impossible, I think, to even think of them all. Those of you who are parents, if your children have questions, it's, you know, you need to be ready to answer. Be ready to give a reason for the hope that lies within you. I think that's part of what happens here, don't you? We're all learning together. We're seeing what God said. And by His grace, He's faithful to teach us of Himself, that we might take His yoke upon us. We're yoked together, and that the unity of the brethren is vital. But also we're yoked to Him, knowing that He does everything. He's just using us to do it. That's encouraging. That's a great blessing to know that we can't fail. That's the last part of our text in that. Your labor's not in vain. It's a win, whatever you do, because of the cause that you're involved in. If you're yoked to somebody that can't lose, that makes you a winner. If you're in on it, if you're involved in it, if you're counted among the number, Think of all the way, one of the ways that the work of the Lord is carried out. And let's see if I can say this delicately, that we just read about here in chapter 16. One of the ways that the work of the Lord is carried out and promoted is by not being an idiot. Is that delicate enough? He said, quit you like men. Quit you like men. Be strong. You know, giving into the temptation to succumbing to the fleshly pettiness that's part of all of us. The immaturity, the spitefulness, the argumentative and contrary nature that we have. Giving into that is not being strong. That's not acting like men. And this goes, of course, for the ladies. You know that. The virtuous woman that's described in Proverbs 31 is not one who is petty and a busybody and stirring up discord and such. Be strong. Be strong in the Lord. And let me say this about the work of, despise not the day of small things in the work of the ministry. Listen to what David said in Psalm 84:10, for a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. A doorkeeper. If that's all you can do, you're in on it. You're doing the work of the Lord. And he said, I'd rather do that than anything in this world. Be a great success in this world. There's, you know, all the things that we've talked about this before, cleaning and cooking, you know, do your best. May nothing in this world be ever so clean as what we clean when we're working in the ministry. That's the work of the Lord. It has something to do with the gospel going forth. When you cook something, you know, for the brethren, bring your best. Being an encouragement to people, I've told you before, that's such a great grace of the Lord. People are gifted in that, some more than others. And that's a vital thing in the church, to be an encouragement to one another. The apostle speaks of giving to the ministry as being a proof of the sincerity of your love. 2 Corinthians 8:8. Not everybody is capable of everything. In fact, not everybody is capable of any one thing of these. Repairs and maintenance and things like that. Some are gifted to do things like that. But not everybody is capable of doing any of it. You pick out one thing and not everybody's going to be able to do that. We've got a lot of good cooks in this church, but I won't name any names, but I don't want to depend on certain others to maybe do the cooking. Think about this. If all you do is work your job, say your job is answering the phone at the company that you work at. If you, is answering the phone at a business doing the work of the Lord? If you support the Lord's ministry here with the money that you make answering phones, then that's the work of the Lord. It's just about being in on it, isn't it? Fellow laborers. Fellow laborers. In the ministry. And that goes right along with being steadfast. With being unmovable. Being faithful. And we're given a motivation here. What a beautiful verse this is, and rich in teaching. We're given a motivation to abound in the work. Your labor's not in vain. What could motivate you more than to know that what you do is effectual if it's the labor of the ministry? You know why? Because the ministry will succeed. So whatever you do to promote that, it's successful. It's successful. Your labor is not in vain. It's effectual because God uses it. Not because you're effectual, but because of the one that teaches it and uses it And because of the cause in which it's done, it can't fail. If the purpose of whatever it is you do for the Lord is that the gospel will go forth and sinners will be saved, then you succeeded in that work, because the gospel goes forth and his people will all be saved. He said, Paul said in 2 Corinthians 2:14 that when the gospel goes forth, because somebody paid the light bill, and because somebody was a witness to somebody at work or invited them to come hear the gospel, when the gospel goes forth by all of these various means, when God's preachers don't quit, because, of course, God's upholding them, but how does he do that? Through the faithfulness and encouragement. It's a big part of it, of his sheep. Whatever it is, when the gospel goes forth because of it, every bit of it is a win. Now, thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place, this place. For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ. Can you think? You see why David said, I'd rather be a doorkeeper? We are unto God a sweet savor of Christ. Your part in that may be something small. And so this is not just to exhort you, it's to encourage you. You may be sitting there thinking, I don't ever do anything for the Lord. Maybe you do, more than you think you do. But at the same time, I'm saying, let's do more. Let's abound in the work of the Lord. Let's be thinking about it all the time. What can we do? What can we do more that would honor him? Just saying a word to somebody, a lost person or one of his sheep. Just some menial task, a doorkeeper, David said. I love that he said that. Don't you? Man, even I could do that. Even I could do that. We are unto God a sweet savor of Christ in them that are saved and in them that perish. It fulfills God's will. We don't want to see that happen to anybody that we know, for sure. We know that that's up to the Lord. He said, I'll save who believes you and I'll damn who doesn't believe you when you preach my gospel. To the one we're the savor of death unto death, and to the other the savor of life unto life. And who is sufficient for these things? We're not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God, speak we in Christ. Where are you going to go and be in on the labor of the Lord? Except where his gospel goes forth in truth, where he's been pleased to speak to his people. That's what happens right there when you vacuum the floor. That's what happens because you answer the phone on your job. The gospel goes forth. That's what happens when you bite your tongue and are kind rather than derogatory or argumentative. That's what happens when you look for ways to be a blessing, to be helpful to one of God's sheep. David said, I'd rather be in on that in the most menial way than to succeed in this world, to do anything for the king. Therefore, seeing... You see that word therefore at the beginning? What's that there for? The whole subject of that chapter is what? Christ is risen. Christ is risen. Therefore, seeing that our Savior died for us and rose again, be ye steadfast, be ye unmovable, abound in his work. That's the reason. That's the motive. Seeing that we shall soon be changed and bear the image of the heavenly. Boy, if that doesn't encourage you, I don't know what would. This is just for a little while. We've got a little while to honor the Lord in this life. Just a little while. God, give us grace to abound in that. Seeing that sin is gone, the sting of death is sin, and our sins are gone. The victory is ours over death and sin by Christ. Seeing that death itself is a victory, it's swallowed up in victory because of our Savior and His precious blood. Abound in His work because of that. Therefore, do so. In the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, thank you is a verb. It's one thing to say, thank you, Lord. But thank you is doing something. And He's ordained it that way, not because He needs us. Us doing anything for Him is Him doing something for us. What a blessing to be in on it. What a privilege to be in on it. Seeing how that you died for us, Lord, give us the grace and the unspeakable privilege of living for you. Amen. Let's pray.